morning. Thanks to everyone that came live and everybody that's viewing now or anytime. When we launched this all dot platform, which Spark has been very much, we have many people from all communities around the world have been gaining tremendously from the availability to have access to the Yerbi Shira and all kinds of other content to help them along. One of the ideas was to make community events specifically to bring out the Halacha L'maisa that is Nagei in every dot. So I'd like to thank Dede Savad, who's from the leading halachic centers in Lakewood. They focus very much on Eben Ezra Chesh and Mishpat, and it was a very opportune time. Rabbi David Grossman's father, Rabbi Yosef, just passed away, and he was somebody who spent, literally, gave away his life to bring educational material, specifically in Kashrut and other areas as well, to the Hamayin Am. I'd like to thank Torah Anytime. We just had the Gemara in Brachos a couple of days ago. The Gemara says there were three types of dreams a person could have that talk about Shalom. The river, the kettle, and the bird, from the book that everybody knows. And there are many different shots in what that means. But one shot that I saw is that the river signifies the Ani and the poor people. The streams go down, Namos, low, Shalom, people that don't have lots of money. The Tzipar signifies the Ashirim, success to the sky, so to speak. And then you have the kettle that brings them all together. They all have to eat from the same pot. So Torah Anytime is definitely, we could consider them the kettle. They bring people from all over the world, all types, all stripes, to be able to be Nene from Shiure Torah. So Yashakeh for them. That's the call upon Rabbi Grossman to say literally Dvarim Katsarim, Tiri Askar for his father, and there they can, will begin the Hilchos Brachos this year.
Morning. Talk on the habit of Beis Avad. I wanted to give Yashar Koyach to Moshe for arranging this, to Yaakov Tesher for coordinating this event, and for helping to coordinate, and the tremendous all-dot project. And an idea came to do something in the Nishmas of Imari, of Yosef Yisrael, or Moshe. The Chetzalik of Roach, Arini Kapuras Mishkobot. When the idea came around, as Manush Shloshim was yesterday, so I thought it was a very appropriate thing. You know, Simon saw the partners, the location, and the platform, the Torah platform, and the specific topic matter would be a very appropriate askar for my father. And again, the partners. Ramesh is the son-in-law of one of my father's great Yedidim, the elephant. He was a shutif, a shtigl shutif in the giving over the Daf Yomi and the OU. He has hundreds of shurim whenever my father filled in for the elephant, Ramesh's father-in-law. And the stand of OU was my father's home, was able to. It gave him the platform to be Marbet Torah in a very significant way that he always dreamed of. It gave him everything he needed, the tools, and tremendous chus to be able to partner with the Yehudim, with the Oldaf. Because the Chalal and the Nesechus Brachas was something, when my father wasn't well a few years ago, we went to Reb Chaim and said that the family should learn Maseches Brachos. Mishavet Lomar B'Chasida, Nizut Nizikin, Nivad Ovas, Nivad Brachos. And our show that says that it's that Ben Odom L'Chavere, Ben Odom L'Atzmoy, Ben Odom L'Mokoy. And the Chalal, my father, was a tremendous market toy. He was a tremendous onov. And he, rather than, these two, we looked through his Gemaras. After he has Gemara that like every single page is mamash the underline and then with Ha'oris and all of the sides of the one of the two main sectors that he gave shurim on Yerushalmi also on the it's also for the OU he gave shurim on Sechus Sanhedrin and Sechus Brachas And you know, he had one of his ekumenical Sayyim Shas, but you know, he had a strong concentration on Sanhedrin's rough opponent. And it happens to be the two of the main passions that Imamish lived with. One was he had a tremendous he was a tremendous Marbitz Torah, all over the United States, all over the world. He had a passion to bring Bar Hashem to every vinkel. He was all excited when he heard that some soldier in some base and across the country heard the shurim on the on the website, whatever it was. It was like tremendous Marbitz Torah, and he's a tremendous Rebbe Shalom. And really, this is really why he, these two things together. I think Mokra Asher Nachnu Oymed Shom, Lakewood, was where he was able to really, put these two miles together. His tremendous Abba Shalom, he had a great day in his life was the day that he was able to, that he brought the OU to give a shiur in the Sapna Koil in Monroe. It was like, he was Mamash, so he over the years in OU, he was, he brought the OU to the Olma Torah. He had, he brought shiurim, a few shiurim in Lakewood. He had over 500, 600, 700 people, in Lakewood, BMG, all over coming to the shiur. Like he was Miriam, all the executives in the OU all were marker how he was able to really bring it to all different crowds and bring to be Marbet Shalom and Marbet Sarah in the same vein. So the Shir should be as close. There's the Shama, there's the Hashem, and with that we should be able to continue Zeichen Shmosoi of Yisrael Shalva Ramosha. The Chorin of Rafa, we continue to marvel to turn this in the site.
I just wanted to mention that the Beit Havad has on every single daf and shas a 20 minute to half an hour shiur on practical halacha. It's available, there are CDs that are outside, it's available online on the old daf website. So this is something that they've contributed to the daf yoyimi learner as well. I'd like to call upon Rabbi Kahn to stay the first year.
The Gemara in Brachos in Daf Lamed Zayin on the days where the Gemara says Shukin is Kayav and Batala. This Michael Shukman is Gaya Batala. And the Gemara says, my Shukman. What is Shukman? Amar Abaya Kuba de Ara. Which Rashi explains, Kuba de Ara, Oysa Mokum Chalal de Kira, they would make a hole in the Kira, in the bottom of the Kira, the Noisim Betoichor Mayim Bekemach, and they would put in this hole a mixture of water and flour, just like we make on an ilfis, which is more like a griddle, this type of lila raka, they would put in the bottom of the kira and they would bake it. And that is Gaya Bakala. V'omar Abaya, and Abaya goes Vaita, Trisa Tura Minakala. But this other Michael called Trisa is Pata Minakala. Praise the Gemara, my Trisa. Ike de Amri Gvil Mirta. What does Gvir Miltach mean? So Zokrashi, noisin chemical mind the kli, they put flour and water in a kli, uboikshin the cup, and then they mix it with a spoon, v'shoikin ala kiro, kishin sekes, and they pour it on the kiro when the kiro is hot. Seemingly, both trukmin, which is the Michael that's chayvin kala, and Shrisa, which is the Michael that's Turim in Akala, are both made up of a Blilo Raka. So then the obvious question is, what's the difference? Why is one Chayiv in Kala and one not Chayiv in Kala? So the Rosh is bothered by this question, and the Rosh says, And I quote Trista. Trista is the one that's Tura ben Atala. Lo domi v'trukmin. It's not similar to trukmin, which is Gaiden Kala. And why is that? The Afal Pisa b'lilasa rakah, even though trukmin is also b'lilasa rakah, just like Trista. Nevertheless, oifin oistra b'guma shebikira. They make it in the guma, in the hole in the kira, as Rashi explained. The nasa lechanan, by making it in the hole in the kira, it becomes lecha. Aval mirtach, real, which is the tree stuff, as the Gemara explained, real mirtach, shoykin oisoy al ala kira. They pour this blila raka on the kira. And here are the key words of the Rus. Umispashit. That when you pour something into a hole in the kira, so it doesn't flow out of the hole, and the more you pour, the higher it gets. So it becomes thicker. However, when you pour this blila raka on a kira, not in the hole, umispashit, it spreads and spreads. And because of that, the ein toiras lechem olof. It does not have toiras lechem. What does toiras lechem mean? The Prima Gaddim, Rosh Yosef, who was also written by the Prima Gaddim, explains that toiras lechem of the Rosh means toyar lechem. And this is a big yisoid in Hilchus Brachus, and in Hilchus lechem, whenever you need lechem, matzah, and other places, that the item has to have toyar lechem, the look of bread. And since this is mispashet, so thin, it does not have the look of bread. It does not have toyar lechem, and therefore it's potter in challah. Because challah is only chayim on something that you make to become lechem, become toyar lechem. So trukinim, the bout, it rises in the kira, because the kira is put in a hole, so it's thicker, and therefore it has toyar lechem and chayim in challah. But trisa, which is spreads and spreads, about it is thin, and therefore it does not have toya lechem, and therefore it does not chayiv in challah. That's what the Gemara Lamed Zayin Omid Beis says. The Gemara Lamed Ches Omid Aleph then discusses what bracha do you make on shruknim. So Zot the Gemara, Omale Abaye L'Rav Yosef, Hai Kuba De Arab. This kuba de ara, which is the trukni, the one that you make a hole in the kira that has height to it, and it yes has toy lechem, and it's chayivim chalav, me, my mevorkin alon. What profit do you make on it? Chayra, if it is chayivim chalav, and it has toy lechem, one would assume that you make a moitzi. To which the Gemara answers, which Rabbi Yosef answers, is Talmud Abaye back. Mi sovres namahu. Do you think that this is considered as bread to make hamoitzi? Guvla ba'almahu. This is just a guvla ba'almahu. Umidavarkan alaya bari min ezonis. And you only make a bari min ezonis. The Gemara goes vaita, marzutra korba sudosu alayu. Marzutra was kaveya suda on this trukmin, which the Gemara calls guvla ba'almahu. Ubirat Allah Hamoitzi Lechem in Aretz Mishalash Bakas. And he made Hamoitzi and he benched. This type of Michael, Tuknin, which is Chayiv in Chalav, but nevertheless you only make Mazoinas and Allah Mikyah, but if you convey a Suda, you make Hamoitzi and you bench, is similar to a different Gemara, the Gemara later on, that Memalav Membeis, but there the Gemara discusses an item called Pasavah Bekisnin. And the Gemara says that Pasavah Bekisnin is also an item which if you eat a small amount, you make a Mezoimus Nala Mikyah, and if you eat a large amount, you make a Moitzi. And this seems to be another item that's similar rules to Pasavah Bekisnin, although it's not Pasavah Bekisnin. Pasavah Bekisnin, we showed him over there, explained there's different things. He did sweet, but here this is not sweet, and it's not cracky, and it's not filled, it's just flour and water. But the Baalt, it's Guvla Ba'alma, therefore you only make a Mizoinus. What does Guvla Ba'alma mean? What does Gemara mean? It says Guvla Ba'alma. Rashi doesn't say anything. What does Guvla Ba'alma mean? So there is a choices in Sokin and Avam Zayin on the base where Tosfos in Sukkot explained that what the Gemara means Gufla ba'alma in over here in Brachos and Lamaches, Sukk Tosfos the Einol Soyed Halei does not fill one up. That's all Tosfos says. What does that mean? So the Shulchan Aruch Rav explains what Tosfos means to say is as follows. Just like the oil learned on the Mem Beis, Mem Aleph, that there's a concept called possible b'kisnim, and that is, it's something that is guided in Chala, it has Toyalechem, and nevertheless, you don't make Hamoitzi and bench, but rather you make a Hamazoinis and Alamikya. And what is the reason for that? So, the Rishonim, the Achroinim all explain, although it's chayiv in challah and it has a toyer lechem, but nevertheless, since it is made not for kriyas suda, it's not made like a regular bread that you convey a suda on bread. It is made in a way, whether sweet or crunchy, it is made in a way that it's not the derech b'nei adam to use this as the convey a suda on. And in such a case, although it is lechem and it's chayiv in challah, nevertheless, Chazal said that we don't make hamoitzi and bench on something that's not the derech to the Kaveya Suda. If you actually are Kaveya Suda, eat a lot, then you make a Moishu bench. But otherwise, you just make him a Zainus. And Zakashu Kanar Karab, who adin, this Shrukhmin, which although is Zayiz and Tala, but nevertheless, since it's a Guvla of Alma, as the Gemara says, which twice is explained, it's not Soyer Alei, to which the Shulchan Aruch Rav explains, and therefore it is not the derech of the Odom to be Gveya Suda on it. Although it's just flour and water, but since it's a Glila Raka, and obviously a Glila Raka doesn't have that much flour, like something that's a Glila Ava, the derech of the Odom was not to be Gveya Suda on this item. And therefore they had the same rules as possible of the Kisnin. You eat a little bit, Mezoinis and Alamikyo. You eat more, you eat Kaveya Suda, it's a Moitzi in your bench. And that's Truknin. However, the Gemara never discusses what Brocha do you make on Trisa. The Gemara just says that Trisa is Turmin HaKala, and as we explained, because it's so thin, therefore it does not have Toya Lechem, but the Gemara doesn't say what Brocha you make on this Trisa. The Beis Yosef Paskins, and this is brought down in Rishonim as well, Beis Yosef brings that on Trisa, since it does not have Toya Lechem, as the Rosh explains, because it's so thin, and therefore it's Turim in Akalah, Huadim, it Brachi is Mezoinos, even if you convey a suit on it. Because in order for something to be a Moitzi, when you convey a suit, it has to be in the Parsha of Lechem. Has to be chayiv and challah. But we explain that this trisa, the baal, it is so thin, the Rosh says something that is so thin is not toya lechem. And since it's not toya lechem, it is not chayiv and challah. And since it's not chayiv and challah, it does not have a shein lechem, and therefore, even if you eat a lot of it, it's going to be mezoinos, and it's going to be alamikyo. If anybody learns the Tosfos thing later on in Brachos, the Tosfos over there talks about a case of Vermishayish, which is Vermichili, which is like the spaghetti. There too, the Baal does not have Toya Lechem, no matter how much you eat, it's going to be Mizoinus and Alamikyo. And it's not Kayiv and Kala. And that is the Gemara. And this is brought down in Halakha. This din of Shrukmin, which is Kayiv and Kala, is brought down in Halakha. Eat a little bit, Mizoinus. Eat a lot is a moitzi. Trisa, which is potter in challah, because it's so thin, therefore doesn't have toya lechem, no matter how much you eat, it's going to be a mezoinos and a alamikya. The Shulchan Aruch Rav, when he wants to give you an example, the maitra of trisa, that's the maitra that's potter in challah, that doesn't have toya lechem, that's mezoinos no matter how much you eat. The Shulchan Aruch Rav gives you an example, he says, "V'nasadak ma'oi, because it spreads, it's thin. Gam akafia, even after you bake it, it still remains thin. Shekoyin blinches, so we can understand it's like a crepe. The blintz is the wrapping around your cheese or potato blintz. That is a very thin item that is made as a blilo rakah, Ein kriyas mu'elas emprimotris. In such a case, kriyas does not help because it doesn't have a shein lechem, it doesn't have toya lechem, it is so thin. And therefore, on your blintzes, no matter how much you eat out of your blintzes, you only make a mezonos because it's thin, it does not have toya lechem, and therefore it can never be a birkas hamazon. The shayla that the Heimlich of Poiskim discuss is that there's a new Michael, at least on the American scene in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, becoming more popular as time goes on, and that is what's known as bread wraps. Now there, the bread wraps are not made from a blila raka as trisa is made from, but nevertheless, the final product of the bread wrap is basically as thin as a blintz. Is as thin as a blintz. And therefore, one can argue and say that just like the Rosh explained that on something that's, because it's so thin, it doesn't have toya lechem, and therefore no matter how much you eat, you're going to make them as donuts, who have been on a bread wrap that is so thin, although it started off as a blila ava, but the mice, the bottom line is, it's so thin, and since it's now so thin, it does not have toya lechem, and therefore, no matter how much one eats of it, it's going to be a mezonos and an alanichya, not bench. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach quoted in the same bracha, and in Minchas Yitzchak, in his tshuva, both say that this Michael of Trista, that due to its thinness, doesn't have toya lechem, no matter how much he eats, is a mezonos. They both say that even if it is made from a blila ava, from a thick dough, but you get it very, very thin, just as thin as trisa, just as thin as a blintz, then so too is going to be a ala mishka, no matter how much you eat. That being the case, by the bread wraps, which is also very thin like a blintz, then in such a case, according to Shlomo Zalman and Minchas Yitzchak, although they're not discussing the bread wrap, they're discussing the idea, no matter how much of the bread wrap you eat, you should make a mezonos on it. Many years ago, I sent a package of bread wraps with a seminary girl to Fav Zatzal, Chaval al Da'avdin v'lo mishtakin. And he took a look at it, and he told me that yes, he feels that in such a case, about it's so thin, although it's made from a blila ava, it's going to be a mezonos no matter how much you eat. I then asked him that the matzah that we eat on Pesach is also very, very thin. So why in the world is it a mitzi? Why don't we make a mezonos on matzah? It's very, very thin. It's just as thin as a blintz. So what he told me was that if you take a look at the Hagos Hashri, the Hagos Hashri requires one more tanai in this trisa fellow to make it not toya lechem. The Rosh says that it's mispashit. And because it's mispashet and it becomes very thin, therefore it doesn't have toya lechem. The Gos Hashri adds that it also has to be kolosh in order for it not to have toya lechem. And he explained to me that kolosh means that it is, for no better words, flippy floppy. It flops around. It does not have body to it. As opposed to a matzah, which a matzah has body to it, is not kolosh, to chew it up hard, and therefore it is considered as toya lechem due to the fact that it's not kolosh. And therefore, you make a mitzi. However, this bread wrap, because it is kolosh, therefore, even though it's made from a blila ava, since it is very thin, its bracha is going to be a mezonos no matter how much you eat. This is what he told me. What? A laf is not as thin as a bread wrap. A laf is much thicker than a bread wrap. At least the bread wraps that I measured. Where do you draw the line? I don't know. But the bread wraps are certainly as thin as a blintz, a standard blintz. This, what?
Blintz is ballpark.
Okay, so you want to say the kolosh means that it's not just slippy flap, you want to say it rips easy? Okay, you could say what you want, I agree. What toya lechem is, I haven't gotten the foggiest idea. But this is what Rabbi Falk had told me, that the bread wrap does not have toya lechem. There is a video that they showed Rabbi Yashub a bread wrap, And in 2 seconds, he took a look, he bent his head and said, no, it does not have Torah Lechem. He did not ask if it's a B'lila Ava or B'lila Raka. He didn't ask if it rips easy, it doesn't rip easy. It was a 2 second answer, it does not have Torah Lechem. And that being the case, it will fit into the cloud, or fit into the Michael of Trisa. And therefore, no matter how much you eat of it, it's going to be a mezoinos. There are those who have heard over the years who wanted to make the distinction that we started off with, that perhaps not. Perhaps Trisa Vibal was made from a B'lila Raka. That's why when it's thin, it's a mezoinos, and it doesn't have Torah Lechem. But something that's made from a B'lila Ava, although it's just as thin as the Trisa, then it's going to be a moitzi. Then it's going to be a moitzi. Because regular bread is going to be a moitzi. A big nafkamina regarding the bread, that besides its bracha, whether it's a moitzi and benching, like some people have said, or it's going to be a mezainos, an alamikin, no matter how much you eat, which seemingly Rabbi Yashiv held like that, and should follow according to the Shlomo Zalman and the Minchas Yitzchak. Another nafkamina will be legabe Bishul Akum and Pas Akum. In Halakha, Bishul Akum is not only negaya to something that is cooked in a pot in water, but rather Bishul Akum is something that does not have a Shein Lechem. Anything that does not have a Shein Lechem, even if it's baked, it has a din of Bishul Akum. It has a Shein Lechem, then it has a din of Pas Akum. We know that Pas Akum has a heter of Pas Palter, while Bishul Akum, Pashtus, does not have a heter of Bishul Palter. That being the case, if a bread wrap is considered as a mezoinos, no matter how much you eat, because it does not have Toyo Lechem, and it's not Kayiv and Kalom, then it will be subject to the halakas of Bishul Akum. And Bishul Akum, though, has a tznai that has to be Oyla Shulchan Malachim. If you consider a bread wrap as something as Oyla Shulchan Malachim, which you have to know the mitzvahs of how they eat bread wraps nowadays, you have to know what's considered Oyla Shulchan Malachim, but if it would be considered as Oyla Shulchan Malachim, then the bread wrap would be subject to Bishul Akum, will be trait, will be also to eat, unless the company making the bread wrap, things were done by the Hashtaka to make sure it's not a problem with shalakam. But if it has a din of bread, then the company doesn't have to do anything. It's pas palter. Many people eat pas palter. That's not, I don't have to write. It's not trade. You know it's pas palter. Unless it's written on it, pas yisrael. So that would be another mafkamina. So for somebody to make, eat bread wraps, a lot of it, and make them a zainos, and alamikyo, and be soymech on those people who consider it as bread, and therefore nothing was done to it in the factory, there might be an issue with steerim in Eubay, if it's considered as oyla shulchan malachim. Another michael that is going up to this Gemara, and that is a michael of pancakes. We said that truknin is also made from lila raka, but nevertheless, the reason why it has toya lachim, it has height to it. And it's not a hamoitzi to begin with, because it's a guvla ba'alma, as the Gemara says, which means it's not soya lay, which means it's not made with derekhi yasuda. Pancakes is also made from a blila raka. Pancakes have height to it. Maybe that height that the pancakes have is enough to be put into the category of truknin that is considered as toya lachim. Now pancakes are, I remember the numbers right, I don't know, maybe like 10 millimeters high a standard pancake, while a lince is 1.25 millimeters, so it's almost 8 times more. That being the case, then pancakes would be considered as truknin, and pancakes would be kai and kala. But what bracha are you going to make on pancakes? So, it would depend if it's a gubla ba'alma or not. And the way we explain gubla ba'alma based on tesis, but it's sayed alay. Which we explain really means, is it the derech and the oven to the gvaya suda on this item or not? In the days of the Gemara, it was not the derech and the oven to the gvaya suda on truknin. And therefore, little is mezoinus and a lot is amoitzi. Pancakes, one could question. Is pancakes something that derech and the oven to gvaya suda on? One can argue and say, well, we eat it for breakfast, so that of Bnei Adam is Vayasudolov, and therefore maybe it should be Hamaisi. Because if it's the Bnei Adam is Vayasudolov, I don't care if it's a Lilo Raka, then it's going to be Hamaisi, even one bite. Or you can say no, that the way we eat in America, breakfast is not considered as a Suda, that's never considered as a Kriya Suda. If you take a look at the Chaya Adam, when he's discussing Kriya Suda, again, the path above the Kisnin, he says something that you can lay a Suda for lunch and supper. He leaves out breakfast. Maybe also in his day, breakfast wasn't something that the Derech and the other Kavaya Suda love. The Mishnah Berurah, when he discussed Derech Kavaya Suda love, he says breakfast and supper. And he leaves out lunch. Maybe he's going in those people who used to eat twice a day. Yeah, eat twice a day. The breakfast and supper were Kriya Suda. And that's why he left out lunch. But we in America, we eat three times a day. Maybe one can argue and say, well, we eat for breakfast is not considered Derech Kavaya Suda. There is a Maimon Mordechai in Hilchos Sukkah, which also discussing what Derech Kavaya Suda, Gabi Chiyuv Sukkah, he wants to say that an item that you eat, and usually you're hungry before 6 hours, that is something that you see is not Derech Kavaya Suda. Because if it's Derech Kavaya Suda, you won't be hungry until another 5-6 hours. That being the case, maybe one can say in America, I don't know, breakfast is 8 and lunch is 12. So we see we don't eat such a big breakfast, not called Kriya Suda. One can think about that, but the standard sock on pancakes is the Zainites, unless you eat a lot of it. Then it'll be Amaisi, and they'll be considered as Dumya to Trukni. So these are two Makolim, which although the Gemara doesn't say Lehedja what they were, but from the explanation of what they were, we can apply it to nowadays to pancakes, which perhaps is like chukmin, and bread wraps, which perhaps is like trisa. One final ha'ara is that at the end of the perek, the Mishnah talks about a klal, zeh klal, poshu ikka, v'imo tfeila, nevorek ala ikka, poites atfeila. When you make a bracha on the ikka, it partners the tuffel, famous klal of ikka the tuffel. So we're in the Rishonim, that ikka the tuffel does not mean that the tuffel does not need a bracha, and it's like not here. But rather, the tuffel needs a bracha, but since this tuffel is a tuffel to the ikker, it gets kepatered with the bracha of the ikker. The ikker's bracha, although it's mezaynes, the tuffel's a shakal, it doesn't make a difference. It's a tuffel to the ikker, the bracha that one made on the ikker works on the tuffel. So tuffel is getting a bracha, just it's not its regular bracha, it's getting the bracha of the ikker, and that's the kiddush of ikker the tuffel. There are three types of ikka the tuffel that we find. Sayin the Gemara and Sayin Alapha. One type of ikka the tuffel is where the purpose of eating the tuffel is not for eating purposes. But the purpose of eating the tuffel is maybe not to get your hands dirty. It would be like some sort of you're putting the michael that you really want onto some michael that you're not interested in, just not to get your hands dirty. For instance, that's how the ice cream sandwich came about. I wasn't there, but they say in the World's Fair, I don't know, 1904, whatever that year was, that there was a man selling ice cream on plates. And then there was another booth next door selling cookies. And they were doing well. But the ice cream fellow was doing even better than the cookie fellow. It was a very hot day that day. And everybody was buying ice cream. He had more ice cream, but he ran out of plates. So now what do you do? What do you do when you have customers, which in English means money, standing in front of your booth, and you have ice cream, and you don't have plates to put it on? What do you do? So you become a Rekiva Eger. And you think, and you become very, very smart. And he turned to his neighbor in the other booth with the cookies and he says, do me a favor, I'll buy the cookies off you. And he put the ice cream on the cookies. Just at that point, it was just mamash acting like a plate. And then that's how the ice cream sandwich began. But that's one type of ikka tuffel. The tuffel has no purpose for eating. It is just there to not get your hands dirty. Or maybe it's just there that you shouldn't burn out your mouth. Sometimes people eat very spicy things. Is there not to burn out your mouth? That is one type of tuffel. Another type of tuffel is where you are interested in eating it. It's not just there not to burn your mouth out or not to get your hands dirty, But its ikar intention is coming to enhance the ikar. It's coming to enhance the ikar. And when something is coming to enhance the ikar, then the ikar is the ikar and the other fellow is a tuffle. For instance, cereal and milk. I think everybody would agree that the milk is there to enhance the eating experience of the cereal. And therefore, the milk always remains a tuffle. And we don't start looking at how much milk and how much cereal you have. There's a third type of ikar v'tuffel where you're interested in eating both. You're interested in both. Well, Marshall, we have these trailblazer things, what they call them in English, where you mix nuts with raisins. You're interested in eating peanuts and you're interested in eating raisins. It's together, they make a schmack. And mainly you're interested in eating both. That's another type of ikar v'tuffel. Here the rule is you go with the majority. Whoever is the majority in value wins, and therefore it is considered he becomes the ikar and the other fellow becomes the tuffle. Crispix, one can think about your crispix. There is corn on one side, whose bracha is either a dama or a mezainis, a shakel, depends how it's made. You'll look up in the bracha's books. And on the other side is rice, which is a mezainis. I think if you look at the corn checks, the crispix carefully, I think that the rice side has more height than the corn side, which I think in English means that it has more volume than the corn side. And if that's the case, whenever it's a tarubas, you want both, you go bust in a majority, and therefore you'll make a mezainis on the crispix. This shayla is very negeya to sushi. Sushi is another michael that has become very popular. And sushi is a michael that many times is made up, perhaps even of four different masala. You can have the raw fish, I don't understand it still, but that's what you can have. The raw fish with the shakal, if you hold it's Roy Lahila. I mean, in the Gemara's days, it was muksa. Raw fish was muksa. Because it's not Roy Lahila. Maybe nowadays it's changed. Then you can have your avocado, which is a ace. Then you can stick in there your cucumber, which is a whole adama. And then you have the wrapping of the rice, which is mezainis. So what bracha do you make on your sushi? The Poskim discuss another case, not sushi, but let's say I have a fruit cup. And in this fruit cup, I have 40% aces, what aces are of apples. And I have 30% watermelon. And I have another 30% cantaloupe. So the place can say that although the apple is more than the watermelon, and the apple is more than the cantaloupe, but nevertheless, since the watermelon and cantaloupe have the same bracha of ho'adama, they join forces, and I have now 60% ho'adama and 40% apple. I'm interested in eating both. The rule is you go with the majority and you make a ho'adama. However, the place can have a big trouble when I have three items. If let's say I have 40% apple, and then I have 30% ho'adama, and then I have a 30%, I don't know how you have it, a fruit salad, whatever, some shakel in there. The poiskim don't know what to do in such a case. Nobody is majority vote. But do you go bust a 40% fellow? Or do you make three brachas? What do you do? And this the poiskim basically blight shred. There's no raya for asbo or sudya. You can bring a raya matoy. This now will be very negated sushi. Some sushis are less than 50% rice. So if you have 40% rice and 20% fish and 20% avocado and 20% cucumber, you are stuck. If you have more than 50% rice, then you'll make a mezainis to eat it together. But once you have less than 50% rice, it depends how it's made, and it depends on different, you know, Japanese people making it, it depends how much you want to skimp on the fish and put more rice in, it depends on many things, but if it's less than 50% rice, you want to have big problems what to do with your sushi. And therefore I've always felt that sushi is not a Yiddish or Michael. Okay. Shkoyach.